Well, good Sunday morning. You're at the right place. This is the place to be and to honor and worship, magnify the Lord. Some mornings it's hard to get up and get going on a... Why is it so hard on a Sunday morning? You know, wake up, get going, get around. It seems like it's whatever reason the Sunday morning's a challenge time. You know, when we had kids at... Our kids were home, and some Sunday mornings, that was a challenge to get some of them going. No, they were pretty good with regard to it. Well, this morning hour, as we go to 2 Corinthians and the second chapter, and work our way to the latter part of it, reminding ourselves or pulling a theme out of the book from Chapter 5 and verse 7, where it says there in 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we're dealing with that theme, walking by faith. So we're not looking at every verse and dealing with every section here, but pulling some sections out of 2 Corinthians and bringing them in to work in our hearts and lives and our worship of the Lord. And one consuming passion, I think that's the right phrase to use, for Paul was to make Christ known. And we always have to be examining our hearts if that's one consuming passion, just the heart, mind, thought dwelling upon, working in, to make Christ known. And every opportunity that God brings before us, that of making Christ known. In about 56 A.D., the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was not necessarily then in history a household name. Paul and many others were making it known. Local churches were being established, presenting around the person and who Christ was, to teach who he was from kind of the ground up, because folks did not know. And we're in the same pattern today. We would think today everyone knows about Christ and who he is, and we have so much stuff you can go. So many great bookstores or stuff you can order online about Christ. But the number of people who really know who the real, as many books are written, the real Lord Jesus, and you read them and you say, it's not the real Lord Jesus. But we want to, there is that term that can be used, because there is the real Lord Jesus of eternity, of the scriptures. And so our job in this time, this passion for us is not that of having to explain Christ as with regard to new, but now we have to work so diligently at proclaiming who the Lord Jesus Christ is really. And so we have that task. I think that's what this portion of Scripture brings out for us here in 2 Corinthians in the latter part of chapter 2. Now, I'm not here to offend you by what I say next, but it might sound like I'm trying to. I'm not, all right? But I was going to say something like this: how's your aroma this morning? You know, I could have been a little harsher and said, how do you smell today? But I wouldn't do that. When you come down through this portion of Scripture, to me it just blends so well for this season of the year, because probably most of us are looking forward to that day we call Thanksgiving, and the aromas that are coming out of the kitchen, you know. There are few things that smell as nice as maybe some fresh baked bread. You know, when you just say the word fresh baked bread, you almost begin to smell it, right? I take a little walk once in a while down the 501. It's a dangerous place, but And I go by a bakery. It's called a Specialties Bakery of Lidditz. And you know the odor of the bread, they can just drag you right in. It's just something nice coming down through there. And the aroma of it. When we look down through our verses here, and some of the expressions that are used, for example, in verse 14, we have this, that making manifest the savor, S-A-V-O-R, the savor. And my translation reads, it diffuses, it spreads out the fragrance. Sometimes we think of fragrance, the only thing that comes to our minds is maybe a perfume or an aftershave lotion. I don't wear either. But that sometimes is what comes to mind. But we think of savor, we think of something very distinctive. A distinctive has a distinctive quality about it. Savor, taste. We think of savor, we think of enjoying the taste as long as possible. Savoring it. When you come to verse 15, and it speaks of the sweet savor, or fragrance, and then verse 16 again, a couple of times the scripture speaks of the savor or the aroma. We got some synonyms there with regard to savor, you know, the smell, the flavor, the aroma. I got to have everyone hungry before it even gets time to begin to think about it there. But one of the great memories as a kid was on the farm, a dairy farm, and when I was quite young, my mother would make the homemade bread. And lots of loaves of it. Anyone make homemade bread still? Yeah, here we go. I know a while back we got one of these homemade bread makers. And, you know, usually it's just sitting on the shelf looking nice. But occasionally we make something. That's a good aroma to it. My mother make the bread. That's one of the memories that comes back to me of that fresh baked bread. There's just something about that aroma coming in. I remember the day that my mother said she was going to make homemade bread no more. You would have thought the world was coming to an end. She says, I can buy it in the store for a dime. Why would I make it? So I'm going back a ways, right? Buy it for a dime, loaf of bread. And my dad refused to eat it. I'm not going to eat that stuff. First couple of meals, maybe, he did that. But the beautiful wand, it's just the aroma from the bread. It is glorious indeed. When we think of words like smell, you know, that which emits an odor, I think of soup. Nothing like homemade soup. Smelling it. Good. You know, I have to remind myself and use of my English language, which I'm very, very poor at. But I do know this. Noses smell and feet stink. See, that helps me keep everything separate and in the right order when I'm using different phrases that I might be here. So when you look down through this portion of scripture and think of the triumph of faith. Remember those great songs? Faith is the victory, the triumph. Paul had, by the Spirit of God, had sent a letter to a local church called Corinth, and he, a sinner saved by grace, had been diffusing, putting all around as he went the fragrance of the gloriousness of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his great desire for that passion in his heart and mind to have that to bring forth. And so Paul, in his travels, we find him in verse 12, coming to Troas. Interesting to read a little history on it. Many people in the area called it Troad. You know, the whole district roundabout, they call it the district of Troad. Of course, Troas was just a few miles from a well-known historical place, even then, called Troy. And as he arrives in Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, he tells us that a great door, you know, there was a great opening. God opened up a great door to preach there in Troas. Paul had been there earlier in travels, and apparently a church had been established. It was sticking by the things of God. And so he was thinking of this area round about, and he's on a trip, and he's waiting for news from Titus, who has gone to Corinth to take information, the letter, and so he's traveling. But the glorious thing is, you know, the gospel. He went to Troas to preach the gospel. You know, each day as we step out and around our area where we live, out of our homes and you go to work or wherever, it is to give out the gospel of Christ. We have our family lives and business and homes and marriages and on, and all of it set forth by the hand of God. And right with it, not just a little chunk of it, but it is that of God who has opened up a door for the giving out of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God plants, as he did this local church here, in a particular area because there are folks to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has brought about this this ministry that is here, and to have this delight that the door is open to give out the gospel. The gospel which we're well acquainted with, I trust, the gospel from the Bible, not according to me and not according to this church, but according to the scriptures, the gospel, that good news of the kingdom, Christ called it in Matthew 4, and the gospel of your salvation, it's brought out there in Ephesians chapter 1 and 13. And on it goes with many titles we could give. But the emphasis wants to be here, as Paul wrote this letter we're also reading. I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. And God, by his great grace, opened up a great ministry there for him in the little while that he was there. And so God's opened up a door here. As you pray for the man that God will have as the shepherd of the flock, we are to be those that are constantly lifting up our eyes unto the field where we are. Indeed, the field is the world, but here's where we're at. And while by missionary offerings and other things, we reach out to various places of the world God has burdened our hearts with, but we lift up our eyes right where we're at. Sometimes we forget to look out our window at the neighbor's house. Sometimes we forget. I've been here quite a while, and maybe I haven't talked to someone new or someone who's moved in and opened up the area to the things of Christ by way of laboring for his name's sake and the glory of it, to give off a sweet-smelling savor, aroma, as we labor for the Lord in the place he has placed us and what he wants us to do. So verse 13, just to follow down the text, He says, while laboring in Troas, his mind is elsewhere. You ever done that? You're doing a job someplace, working on something, but your mind is someplace else, on something else, some situation. That's where it is here for Paul, as he waits upon his brother Titus to bring him a report in matters. Well, how did the church at Corinth accept the information, the letter, my admonishment, and all the information sent? And he wants to know with regard to that, as he was correcting some things in the church by way of the letter and trying to give them the proper instruction. And now he waits the results of the message. Well, you and I have done that. We've either sent someone a card or a message, and now we're waiting for the response. How are they going to respond to it? What's the situation coming back out of that which we've sent to them? Now, how did they receive the message? Well, we've done that with giving out the gospel. Have you given out the gospel to someone and didn't really get much of any response, but you're wondering, boy, how did they receive that? Are they ever going to talk to me again after I talk to them about Christ? Did they believe it? Did they understand it? How did they receive the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't know lots of times. I recall several times of giving it out, perhaps one in particular this morning, a man and his wife coming to church occasionally because grandkids were coming, and so I offered to it. You ever do a study of the Bible yourself? I don't know. Had gone to a church that didn't think the Bible necessary. I don't know how that works, but so I'd have occasionally a Bible study with them and give them some information to study and look and think on themselves. And in the process of time, this man was diagnosed with particular things regarding his heart, and so I'd visit him in the hospital, and time got by, and I'd several times going to the hospital. One of those nights when I just didn't want to get out of the chair. I wanted to go talk to this man. I told him I'd be there and talk to him about, encourage him, and told his wife I'd go there. But boy, you know, when it gets wintertime kind of coming on and it's dark early and you're tired and you've sat down, you say, man, I don't want to get up. You know, I don't want to drive way down there, and it was a ways. But I really just don't, I really had to be one of those push yourself, force yourself, get up, get going, and get there and speak with this gentleman. And I read to him a passage with regard to the righteousness of God and our lack of righteousness, and how we needed to be dressed in his righteousness. And I said, what do you think of that Bible? I don't often ask people what they think of the Bible because I don't want to know what they think. This is what the Bible says, so I'm not concerned what others think. But anyway, I did say it to him, and he says to me, he answers in this way. He says, it's a terrible thing to go through your whole life thinking you are right, and then as you're dying, to find out you are wrong. And certainly it is. So I said to him, Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is that what you're telling me? And he repeats the same thing again. I said, you have, haven't you? Yeah, I've been wrong all my life. I think about that so often. My laziness, not wanting to get up off that chair, couch, wherever, and a dark and cold and I don't want to go and smell, have the gospel smell out for others, you know. I just want my own way here. I wonder how that is with us so often. We might have some great opportunities for the aroma of the gospel to spread out, but we've kept it to ourselves. Well, Paul here could no longer contain himself in the one spot there in Troas. Titus had not come. He was anxious. He had to talk to Titus. He had to find out about the church and their actions, reactions, or the guard to it. So no longer able to contain himself, he says his goodbyes there in Troas. And as you look at a map in your Bible, perhaps you see where he goes from Troas over to Macedonia, there across the Aegean Sea, and there waits and indeed there finds Titus, and they have this, it appears, great meeting and gathering together. Because when you look in your Bible now at the next verse and we begin to think of the thanks that he's giving to God, you know, this section of thanks goes, well, you have to look through, think about it just briefly, you know. It goes through chapter 3, he's giving thanks, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, beginning of chapter 7. You ever have a praise service like that? You just couldn't stop? Now, I had some great singing and songs of praise to the Lord, and that emphasized this morning hour as well. We should have a great rejoicing time in. But he just has one big emotional outburst here in writing. And it's all back to the glory of God that goes on through chapter after chapter. And we'll, by God's grace, get to look at a little bit of that. But verse 14 is just very expressive here. He just goes from the topic, you know. He just kind of, verse 13, you know, I had no peace in my spirit, and I couldn't find Titus, and I had to leave and depart from it. It's just kind of all, and then all at once is just, now thanks. It's just total change in the whole message and rendering and writing what's going on down through the chapter here. Just a impulsive, it would appear, heart expressive praise to God for thanks. And might that be the way it is for all of us in each service with regard to praising and thanking the Lord? He gives thanks for, we'll use the word success, which includes both Paul's triumph over obstacles and enemies and his God-given effectiveness in spreading the knowledge of the truth. And so he goes into this expression of thanks, of how it come about, how it worked, and the spreading of the knowledge of God here. And we're seeing here the triumph of faith. Faith is a victory, the triumph. Faith does have victory. We walk by faith, that is, we live and go through our lives by faith in the Son of God, loved us, gave himself for us. He was trusting in the truth of the Word of God, trusting in the Word of God, and God's Word had won the victory. Great praise time. God often disappoints our fears and puts our anxieties to shame when we have him coming forth with great praise here for the glorifying of his name and making it known, God's triumph over concerns by virtue of his union with Christ. God causes us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God causes us to triumph by faith in Jesus Christ and to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Christ. You see that? You see that in the verse? Verse 14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, he spreads, he diffuses the fragrance of the knowledge of his knowledge, of God's knowledge, the knowledge of God in every place. Fragrance of his knowledge. Spiritual, biblical recognition of the God of the Bible. This triumphant daily consummation of him, the Lord of glory. We recognize that Jesus is God, came in the flesh, the eternal one. We love him, our eternal God. We worship him, our eternal God. I was thinking of one reporter's little note there from the church in Texas, and this mentioned by Brother Hole this morning, them gathering the first service after that time of such wickedness taking place. And one reporter used this phrase. I thought, well, I don't hear him speak that way very often. He said this, he says, the church is recovering by faith, not fear and hatred. Recovering by faith. Oh, wow. Recovering by its faith in what it believes and what the truth of the word is, and that's what keeps it going. And there's a sense of that that goes on here in this local church as well. Some of the things that God has brought you through and is bringing you through. Romans chapter 15, with regard to speaking of this diffusing of the knowledge, giving out, getting out the knowledge of God, by way of the scriptures, what the scripture says about God, not what man thinks about him. But there in chapter 15, down verses 19 and 20, just paraphrasing some of it, you know, Paul says, by the power of the Spirit of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, he had fully preached the gospel of Christ, made it my aim to preach the gospel, made it my aim. Multitudes of people get by us every single day without ever hearing about Christ from our lips or knowing that we are ones that belong to him. One night this past week, an Amish man called me, wanted to know if I could pick him up one place and deliver him to another place. And I've thought about doing that a little bit, but here was the first time ever, and so I said yes. And so in our conversations, a little bit going on, a young man, not married, planning to get married, says, I've invited about 470 people. I said, wow, that's quite a wedding. And then he talks about his work and different things. He's on the phone and off and so on. So he says to me, now, what have you done? I said, well, I've been a Baptist preacher for about 50 years. And you know, the conversation stopped. It was just, from then it was hard to, one of those pull teeth to get him to say something. Because in my mind, he didn't know what to say. He thinks he has to say something special, particular, or not say anything. And I'm just a sinner saved by grace. My aim is to encourage folks to consider what the Bible says about God. Our aim would be to make that recognition there. And it is of this local church. I know you know it is. So many things we know with regard to it, but are we doing anything with it? Is the aroma of the beautifulness of Christ spreading off and away from us to them? He says, verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Because we've been purchased. we belong to, we're owned by God through His Son's blood. We've been given as a gift from the Father through the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus purchased us and has given us back to the Father. Because we've been purchased by the precious blood of Christ, we are those at whatever age we are at here today, in whatever situation with regard to our lives that are going on, we are ministers of the gospel. We labor and work at that. It's not that we have to have or need a title, you know, pastor, minister, preacher, whatever. We don't. To be those that give out the gospel. We're all heralders of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the knowledge of Christ, it's a beautiful thing. It has a delightful aroma about it. And we are to be those that do not lock in that beautiful aroma, but we let it diffuse to others. When we speak of the aroma of fresh baked apple pie, wow. What are we talking about? By the way, you have to have extra strong cheese on the side or a scoop of French vanilla ice cream. It all works. But, you know, when we talk of that, when we speak of the aroma of a fresh baked just out of the oven apple pie, you know what we're speaking of? We're speaking of the characteristic of the pie. We are the means of diffusing the knowledge of God, of Jesus Christ. Wherever we go, we spread the fragrance of the name of Christ. The gospel and those who give it out are well-pleasing to God. The gospel is well-pleasing to God. Those that give it out are well-pleasing to God. Whether people receive it and are redeemed or reject it and remain lost, still the beautiful aroma is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. As Paul so well wrote by the hand of the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 when he sent this letter to the church there. Remember what I'm saying this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 18. For the message of the cross is what? It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, the saved, it is what? It is the power of God. Same message. Maybe we can pull it together a little bit like this from verse 16 and 17. When he says to the one, coming down out of verse 15, remember, to the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. To the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. Who is sufficient for these things? You and all, your faithfulness as a servant of the Lord God are a sweet aroma to God and of God. To those whom you've witnessed to, and I pray it's been many, or it will be, there's always time to to witness to somebody until the Lord takes us home. To those whom you witness and you give off to them the fragrance of the gospel that is either loved or hated. It's either sweet to the nose, to the life, or is putrefying, sickens the nose or to those who hear it. The gospel preached by way of the church out of the scriptures, so the gospel being preached and the gospel itself are sweet. The word of God is living and active, the triumph of faith to the saved and to the lost. You know, the word of God is not neutral. The word of God is not neutral. The gospel and those who preach it, give it out, are either the fragrance of life or there's the smell of death. And if not one, it must be the other. So the question of the day, to put our little package together, is right there at the end of verse 16. And who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? Or who is up to them? Who is equal with regard to them? Who is able with regard to them to do what needs to be done? Well, since the work of God is so great, and since eternal life or eternal death must follow the preaching of the gospel, who then is equal to the task with regard to giving it out, presenting it, as it is the ordained work of God? And we can't just say, well, I'm not going to if it offends and if it's an odor that people don't like the smell. I'm just not going to give it out. People don't like the smell of it. And so many don't have stopped, never started to. Or they have said, I didn't like that person talking to me about the gospel, even though I was redeemed by the preaching of the teaching, the giving out of the gospel. I didn't like them talking to me. I'm not going to talk to anybody else. And I think we're almost in that mode in our society that there's not much of a challenge given out to folks to consider the scriptures. The biggest reason most people don't read the Bible is not because they can't understand it. It's because it speaks against them. And so they do not want that to take place. So stay away from it. They do not read it. It speaks about their present, their past, their present, and indeed their future. Who is up to this task? You know, who is? Because he says in 17, for we are not as so many are corrupting, and the actual word is peddling, selling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak the sight of God in Christ. Our usual answer to verse 16, and it's not that it's wrong, but our answer is, who's sufficient of these things? Really, nobody. Well, I'm not sure that's the picture he's pulling out and the point he wants to get across. I think there's maybe a little different answer with regard to it brought out in 17. I think 17 brings it forth that the design that is implied here, the answer that's implied is, me as a sinner saved by grace, I am able to give out the gospel. Because I don't give it out in a way that it's corrupt. I'm not selling it. I'm not doing it in a way that dishonors the Lord. I am able to do that, to give out the scriptures. You are able to do it in sincerity and as a message from God, and then giving it out in God's sight. We're giving forth the word of God and declaring it and setting it out there. Now, the Spirit of God abides and dwelling in me, and I am by the Spirit of God. You are able by the Spirit of God to give out the scriptures. Well, we're taught that time and time and place again. Yes, even to that one we don't want to. Or we think, well, they're not going to listen to me anyway. Well, the Spirit of God's got a way of opening up ears by way of the Word of God to folks that we might and will speak to, and we need to speak to, and you have spoken to, and we leave it in the hands of God. We are not peddlers of the Word of God. We're not selling it. I think it's being presented before us that our local church, this local church has a competence, confidence, reliance, a belief in the things of the Word of God, and that the Word of God, from you, a believer, is able to do that which God has for it to do. Recall that your existence is, mine is, to please God by the preaching and teaching of His Son and the knowledge of Him, to spread the gospel for His glory. Its effect as we give it out, there are folks that will be redeemed. And the effect of it is to others to believe it not. So who is competent to God's given task? Not the false teachers, not those who sell it or have corrupted it. Not those who peddle it, but you are a redeemed person by the Spirit of God working in you, walking by faith, having your motives pure in declaring Christ. In Christ we speak. In the triumph of faith, in communion with Him, as a member of His body, empowered by the Spirit of God. So in the sight of God, under His inspection, we give out the things of the Word of God. It was Christ who said, as you have read it often, I'm sure, in John 8 and verse 47, John 8:47, and Christ speaking, and He said, "He who is of God hears God's words, therefore you do not hear because you're not of God." So the scriptures examine our hearts. Do you hear the things of God? Things of God, precious, and important, and loving, and you are ready to lay down your life with regard to it. For some, the Word of God, like it was to you, is a sweet fragrance, an aroma from heaven, from God. Which is the surprising end with regard to that? Is it that there are some who do not like the aroma of the gospel? Or is it that so few do like the aroma of the gospel? The baked bread, everyone likes the aroma of. I've never heard anyone say, well, I can't stand fresh baked bread, the smell of it. The gospel's another story, isn't it? Our Father, help us to be those that